The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Welcome in to our Thursday edition of the Leach Report. Maybe we'll call it the Thurby edition of the Leach Report. That's what they call today at Churchill Downs. What used to be known as Louisville's Day at the races was Oaks Day. Well, that's now backed up to today, Thursday, at Churchill Downs. I was over there yesterday. It was just a beautiful day. Everything looks great. So stage is set for another great Oaks and Derby, and we'll talk a little bit about that on the show today, the 144th renewal. We'll also bring in Mike Pratt, my broadcast partner on the UK basketball team, and get his Derby pick and a lot of NBA talk for the Cats, playoffs going on, etc. Dan Cronin will join us. Dan always checks in around springtime when Keeneland starts, and then we get him back around Derby. He's got his own website where he does picks, but he's the brother of UC coach Mick Cronin, big racing fan and big Keeneland fan. In fact, his handle on Twitter is Keeneland Dan, so he'll join us to get his take on the Derby. He's got some theories on it. And then TJ Beisner will join us, and he is a new editor for CoachCal.com. TJ's been on the show a lot over the years, subbed for me at times, and he follows now in the shoes of Mets Camfield. Mets will have to go back into another venture, and they were looking for a new editor for CoachCal.com once they got through the season, and they've hired TJ, and he is on board. So that was a great addition to the team for CoachCal.com, and we'll talk to TJ about that new role and about the Cats. So that's our lineup today, and it's presented by Sleep Outfitters, our guest lineup each day here on the show. You can interact with us via Twitter, @LeachReport, email LeachReport@gmail.com, or you can call 877-904-1080. Wildcat News of the Day is a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. Not a whole lot going on in the UK world today. Cal tweeted yesterday about a possible pair of regular season games with Power 5 opponents at a, quote, destination spot. This would be in the 2020 season, so not this upcoming season, but the next one. So a lot of speculation about, you know, what's that going to be? Have they got him talked into going back to Hawaii maybe in some capacity? I don't know. I know there's been some idea floated about Canada at some point, so maybe up in Toronto. They're going to the Bahamas, obviously, this summer for the exhibition tour. So watch for that becoming probably sometime in the not-too-distant future, one would think, since Cal's already tweeting about it. Kentucky's up to number 15 in the Director's Cup standings that they've been revised after the winter sports. So a strong spring could get Kentucky maybe its second straight top 10 finish. And baseball could certainly help out there. Track and field, too, etc. The golf team is playing in the NCAA championships, so they could add to the total for the Director's Cup. Number 23 in the country, and they'll play down in Bryan, Texas, where Texas A&M is hosting a regional starting May 14th. So third year in a row that Coach Craig has his club in the NCAA, and we wish them best of luck. They've had a fantastic year, 4 tournament wins, I think the most since that J.B. Holmes crew 13, 14 years ago. You can see the links to the stories that we talk about each day on the Bud Light Leach Report page at TomLeachKY.com. A couple of other things. Football, Eli Cox from West Jessamine High School, a junior offensive lineman, 6'3", 290. He tweeted out that he has an offer from UK. On the trail of the Kentucky Derby, Mendelsohn and the other Euros were on the track today. There's several European horses that are over to run in the undercard races, but Mendelsohn's the main focus. And got a little washy out on the track in his first appearance since coming out of quarantine, but settled down and looked very frisky out on the track. Announced his arrival with apparently a couple of winnies as he came onto the track. So just looking at him, I saw Justify gallop this morning. Man, does he look spectacular. And Mendelsohn did too. Mendelsohn it looks, it reminds me a little bit of 89, and Mendelssohn's the darker, a little more agile looking type, sleeker looking type, like Sunday Silence, where you've got Justify. It's a bigger, bulkier, thicker kind of horse, like Easy Goer was, and you had two just super talented horses that were better than the rest, and I think that's what you've got here. I think one of those two is going to win the Derby. I'm going to give a slight edge to Mendelssohn. I just like the edge he has in experience and the way the race shape is going to come out. I think there's going to be a good bit of speed. I heard the owner of Ferenc Fire on the Derby morning show today talking about they were going to come running from the one hole. So I think there might be a little hotter pace than people might expect. And Justify, with only three starts, might get a little close to that. So I'm going to go Mendelssohn, Hofberg, and Justify for my 1-2-3 in the Derby this year. I'm giving you that now because I'm going to be off tomorrow. Michael Bennett will fill in for me. Triple Crown coverage here on the Leach Report, presented by Claiborne Farm again this spring, doing the usual, unusually well for more than 100 years. Links, again, to the stories that we talk about on the Bud Light Leach Report page at TomLeachKY.com. We're heading to a break. And when we come back, Mike Pratt joins the program.
Can't get to a radio? You can listen to us live on the web at TalkRadio1080.com. Now, back to the show.
A couple of other notes. The reclassification trend continues. Joey Baker's a Duke recruit, a Duke commit, who is reclassifying from 2019 to 2018. Of course, possible that Kentucky's going to have a couple of guys reclassifying from 2019 to 2018. And a reminder about the Poor Man's Harlan County Derby Eve Party, annual event that is coming up tomorrow night here in Lexington. It benefits the Hindman Settlement School. Bill Morgan has been putting this on for many years. You can go to the website for the Hindman Settlement School and get all the details. They're going to also honor the unsung heroes of UK athletics, folks like the managers, academic support folks. Bob Bradley's been running the CATS program for years, is retiring. So those are some very deserving folks they're going to recognize as well. And I know Mike Pratt, who joins us now, would say a big amen to that, right?
I certainly would. Bob Bradley, Michael Stone, and I shouldn't have started with the names of people we know.
Well, there's so many. All the managers that are there now, ones that we've worked with, and Mark,
they've
and,
all been
Will
fun.
And the others with the basketball team.
Matter of fact, at the track yesterday, I ran into a fellow that's, golly, you know what? It's early this morning after pizza with my old Kentucky Colonel teammates last night.
I want to get to that.
But, golly, one of the manager's dad came up to me, and he's now with the Raptors. He's with Dwayne Casey as director of operations, and he eludes me this morning, Tom. I've been up early and doing things. But anyway, they're all great people, and boy, the academic support system. You know, I might have made it through there sooner than I did if I would have had any of that, but there was nothing there then. And, you know, that's great stuff, just great stuff.
Yeah, so I'm glad they're honoring those folks. Tom Kalinowski and all this football team, TK's been there for over 40 years with Kentucky football. So glad they're recognizing those folks. Before we get into some Derby, some NBA stuff, I wanted to ask you about the Colonels. I know there was an autograph session Tuesday night, I think, and then I was riding up on the shuttle to the track yesterday. I wish I should have called you. I didn't know you were there. We were there for about the last couple of hours, and as I was riding up on the shuttle, up on the big board, I saw Dan Issel and Artis Gilmore being interviewed.
Yeah, we came down about 2:30 after that race. We were in the winner's circle, and all the guys that were out at the track came down, and I tell you what, it's been a great, couple nights, and today it winds down. And as we all said last night, Van Vance, our play-by-play guy that traveled with us, did a wonderful job and talked to each guy and talked a little bit, just briefly, about his experience. And you know, the overriding theme, Tom, and there was probably 18 guys, maybe show up. Of course, we've lost some.
That's wonderful.
And what a gathering. To a guy, basically what they said was their time here in the early 70s and late 60s with the Colonels were the best that they had. And the atmosphere on the team, the competitiveness, yet the togetherness in the locker room led us to, you know, win 68 games in 1 year, get beat in the seventh game of the playoffs in another, win a championship in the other. This was a good basketball team and really good people. And, you know, it's sad. I got home last night and I sat there and I watched the end of that basketball game and I said, you know, I may not see any of these guys ever again. We've lost teammates. It's the natural flow of life. It was so good to see them. And we're going downtown. Ron Thomas, who played on the 75 team, who's had some health issues, is going to come over to the hotel where most of the guys are staying, and we're going to visit with Ron, and they're taking him out of the facility he's in. And you know, it's just some wonderful, beautiful people, Tom. That's all I'm going to tell you.
Well, that's cool. I look forward to hearing even more about it because I loved following the Colonels. Everybody in Kentucky had a special affection for the ABA because of the Colonels, and you know, you and Dan and Daryl Carrier from Western Kentucky and Louie and all the state of Kentucky connections that, I mean, guys, obviously they weren't just on the team, that were outstanding players.
Rex and Dad Wayne was there. Played with one of the original Colonels, and it was good to see Wayne. He had some winners yesterday, and two guys that I played with I hadn't seen since then. Cincy Powell, Les Hunter, Mike Gale.
Cincy Powell. Oh, I love that. There's a way back name.
Oh, he's a dandy. He's a sweetheart. And Les and Big Game Hunter, and we saw him down in Atlanta, Mike Gale, and just it was great. It was wonderful.
Mike Gale was he and Louie, that was the starting backcourt on the championship team, wasn't it?
No, Mike was gone, I think.
Was he gone by then?
Mike had been traded. Yeah, he'd been traded to the Nets and then to the San Antonio. I think Bert Averett was in that starting lineup
from Hopkinsville. Bird was from Hopkinsville.
Yeah, Bird was there. Bird was there. He's funny Bird. Oh, cool. He's a funny bird.
Well, that's cool. I'm glad you got to do that. I know that was a blast. You enjoyed seeing Les Hunter down in Atlanta in the tournament with Loyola.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little NBA. The combine guys, according to what Hami said, all six Kentucky guys got combine invitations. And that takes place a week after next, I believe, up in Chicago. Guys like Knox and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I assume, won't play. Would you assume the other guys would play, would all get to play?
They should play. If they refuse to play, they're hurting themselves, I would think. I mean, there's a lot of question marks around the other guys. And, you know, I don't know. Shai and Kevin, yeah. There's been guys that have been picked higher than them that have worked out and helped themselves. Maybe they don't, but the rest of the guys should get in there. And if they want to look at getting true feedback about their skill set, they can do it individually with teams, and they can do it collectively this way. And I'd get in and show them what you got, baby.
Tom and Mike Pratt, we need to get a break in here. Let's go ahead and take that, and then we'll come back, get into a little more of this discussion. It is the Leach Report Radio Network. Mike's appearances each Thursday, brought to you by our friends at Boone's Butcher Shop in Bardstown. Check them out at boonesbutchershop.com. We will be right back.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Tweet us at Leach Report or email leachreport@gmail.com.
Mike Pratt's with us on this Thursday edition of the Leach Report. Kyle Tucker had a story earlier this week, I think, caught up to some NBA executives, scouts, GMs, etc. They all spoke anonymously about a handful of early entry candidates. I think it was Kyle's story. And two of them were Kentucky guys, PJ and Jared. I think six of the guys recommended PJ go back to school. One was undecided for Jared. I think it was half recommended he come back, but there were three that he should go to the draft. Any of that surprise you, assuming it's true?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you can look at Jared two ways. That he needs to go now if he's not healthy, and they're not sure he's healthy, he needs to go now and get a contract if he can, and then if something happens, he's covered. You could build that case, okay? and spend a couple years in the G League or whatever. But with PJ, yeah, I mean, it depends. If these guys all think that they're going to be playing in the NBA next year, they're crazy. I mean, look, the talented guys got big upside, but they're not ready yet for that fast lane. And but if you want to get your career started and work with the professionals in the NBA, in the G League, wherever, you know, that's kind of like being an apprentice in a trade.
Yeah.
So I mean, if that's what you want, I don't find fault with that. I think there's more value to coming back. PJ and both of them could definitely move into the first round someplace next year, assuming they're healthy, assuming they develop in areas that they have at Tom. They definitely could move into the first. Because every year the draft keeps getting not as deep, because guys make mistakes and come out, and it opens up the draft for a lot of people. So I think there's an awful – well, if this is a horse race, these guys, they got a lot of value in coming back next year.
But I said, assuming the story's true, I have no doubt the story's true. It's just the guys from the NBA side may not always be shooting exactly straight with what they're saying to reporters. They have agendas, too. And
yes, they do.
The thing that comes out sometimes in talking about these topics is people say, well, you know, they go back, they've added this guy, they've recruited this guy and that guy, and maybe they recruited over him, and they may not get as many minutes, etc. To me, PJ, Jared, the rebound the way they do, I don't think they have any worry about that, about minutes.
Now, look, if you're worried about some high school kid coming in, taking your minutes, taking your boards, what in the world do you think you're getting into at the next level? That's the
excellent
big boys
question.
League. You know, you're going to go up there and cry to the coach, the general manager, I'm not getting my minutes. And they go like, well, you know, in practice, I can't give you minutes off of practice. Or when I did give you minutes in exhibition, you didn't do anything with them. I mean, I just discount that argument. If you're as good enough, if you're good enough to think you can play in that league, and people, the right people tell you you are, you know, you should never worry about guys coming in, unless it's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or somebody that. But you know, just for these two guys, they're not going to worry. They shouldn't worry about minutes. They should be concerned about what kind of team can draft me, where will I play next year, and what kind of opportunity. I mean, if you understand all of that stuff, then you've done your research well. If you don't understand that and you decide to go to the pros and you end up in Sioux Falls, Idaho, and you're bitching, making $36,000, you made a mistake.
Yes, you made a bad – as they said in the third Indiana Jones movie, you chose poorly. who you got for the Derby?
Oh, man, I'm playing around with six, but that justifies a good horse and audible. And
looks like the LeBron of horses.
Pardon me?
Justify looks like the LeBron of horses.
Yes, he does. And or a Big Brown knockoff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody liked Big Brown, and Big Brown ran away. I like this Mendelsohn. I cannot forget the race he ran over in Dubai, where he just blew that field away.
Yep.
And of course, the horse that finished second to him over there, Tom, is running in the Oaks. Now he
yeah.
Did, she did.
Ben Baffert's care now. That'll be interesting
yeah,
to watch.
She did get beat by quite a few lengths, but watch her. It might give you a good indication about Mendelsohn. But I'm a Mendelsohn fan.
Mike Pratt, thank you much. Enjoy the weekend.
Okay, buddy. Have some winners.
We'll be right back on the Leach.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can follow Tom on Twitter. It's at Tom Leach, KY.
Beautiful Thursday edition of our Leach Report show. It's leading into Oaks and Derby weekend tomorrow and Saturday over at Churchill Downs. And going to deal with rain on Friday. Last I heard, maybe during the day, it will the rain will stay away. Then it'll come back overnight and then hopefully stay away all day on Derby Day. Dan Cronin has been busy pouring over all of these names and past performances and trends and stories and all that stuff. And he joins us now. He's got his website where he does picks year-round. But always been primarily a Kentucky guy. Keeneland Dan on Twitter kind of tells us all we need to know about your love for racing, right?
Yep, that's all you need to know. I'm a degenerate. Yes, I am.
A proud degenerate like the rest of us.
Exactly.
Let's talk about when we had you on before, Keeneland. You've got some rules that you go by on handicapping Keeneland races, some trends, axioms, et cetera. I know you have some thoughts similarly for Kentucky Derby. So share some of those with us, some of those things you always kind of start your handicapping with.
Yeah, on Derby, strictly for the Derby race, I start with a couple different things. I look at the Briz and Byer numbers of their three-year-old season, and if they don't have at least a 102 Briz and a 98 Byer, they're immediately eliminated. And normally you can eliminate 15 of the 20 horses like that. This year you can only eliminate about 11. So it's a lot harder this year. But then I dig into the other things, like what I got a little software program that takes a look at what the profile looks like of the past 25 years of Kentucky Derby winners. So basically, you know, what does I'll Have Another look like? What does Orb look like? You know, what did Super Saver look like before they won the Derby with their numbers, their number of starts, their number of preps, you know, things like that. I don't look at breeding very often, you know, just rarely will I look at the breeding. But it takes into account those things, and then we find out, you know, who fits the profile and who doesn't. And, you know, this year that'll cut it down to about 6 horses. So you still have a long way to go from there, where normally we're looking at 2 or 3 horses and making that decision. But this year it's just, man, there are so many good ones this year that you're really splitting hairs. And then with the tough ones, you have to turn your head on some really, really important rules. You know, that Apollo rule, a lot of people don't want to believe in it, but if it's, you know, if it's been around for 130 years, how do you ignore it?
Yeah. I think the fact that horses have a lighter and lighter campaigns makes it, I would imagine you would agree, gives a horse a chance to win without having won it too, where they really didn't 10, 20 years ago.
Yeah, it used to be if a horse didn't have 6 starts, they had no chance. But now in the last 10 years, you know, numerous ones have had 3, 4, 5 starts. So it's not nearly as big of a deal. And I really think it's a bigger deal in races that it's a slow race, like the California Chrome year. You know, he had all that seasoning. He had some rising numbers. And the rest of the field was just so bad that, you know, you wanted a horse that had some seasoning with some rising numbers, where this year, you know, Justify's so talented. Bolt Doro, Audible, Good Magic, Magnum Moon, Vino Rosso, Mendelssohn. I mean, there's so many of them that are so talented. You know, the rest of them are just up against it. And in a normal year, you know, like a Noble Indy, in a normal year, I would think, man, he's got a big chance. But in this year, I would be in utter disbelief if Noble Indy hit the board. You know, that's just how good it is.
Talk with Dan Cronin. His website is, I'll let you give it out to the folks so they can see your analysis.
It's fatballguyracing.com, fatballguyracing.com, no spaces. We're here every day, 5 days a week. We have monthly memberships. That's way the best. And then we have the daily stuff. But if you like horse racing, and I always tell everybody, if you bet more than 3 or 4 weekends, days a month, the monthly is by far the best. It's like, you know, a cup of coffee a day. And we send so much information, people actually call me and say, please help, this is too much.
Need to edit it a little bit.
Yeah.
Dan's brother Mick is the basketball coach at UC, so obviously he knows hoops. And I was watching Justify gallop this morning, and I mean, Neck Bow just looks regal out there on the. And I've loved what they're doing with the coverage on the Facebook morning show from Churchill this week. And
that's
saw you
awesome,
tweeting about
it?
That. That's been great to have that if you can't be over there at the track. But I'm watching Justify, and I'm thinking, you can appreciate this analogy. He's like the LeBron of this field, who went straight to high school to the NBA and was a star. I mean, he is big, strong horse.
Well, and I'll even take that a step further. He's like LeBron as a rookie trying to win the title.
Yeah.
You know, in about 4 months, if he stays healthy, he might be one of the best that we've ever seen. But can he win now? You know, is he good enough now? And I know he's fast enough. I just don't know, and I keep saying this to everybody, I just don't know when they turn that bend, if anybody is fast enough to get up next to him, or if he has a little bit of a curling or classic Empire type nightmare to where he's not in front when they turn the bend and those other horses are looking him in the eye, how is he going to react? Because nobody has ever looked him in the eye, ever.
And it's going to happen at some point. If it doesn't happen Saturday, it's going to happen at some point.
Right. At some point, he's going to have to look somebody in the eye and say, okay, I'm going to outgut you to the wire. You know, Mendelssohn's had that happen several times where he's outgutted horses to the wire. He's went through holes. He's passed horses on the rail. He's went to the lead. He's won on turf. He's won on poly. He's won on dirt. You know, he's won on everything. So the question with Mendelssohn is, does he bounce to the moon off of this unbelievable Theragraph and Rag improvement in his last start? Because, you know, the Ragusan people are going to tell you he's going to bounce. You know, the Ragusan people are going to tell you that Vino Rosso might bounce. You know, there's some horses in here. Hofburg is an obvious bounce on sheet players, you know, the way they handicap. So, I mean, there's some horses in here that could bounce to the moon, or it could just be they're just not good enough in a field that's loaded. You know, the logical horses, I think everybody can see, is Audible, Justify, Bolt Oro, Good Magic, Mendelssohn. I mean, those are the five that if they won, I don't think anybody would even turn a hair and just say, well, they, you know, they were the best horse on that day. If anybody else won, I think it'd raise an eyebrow. Even Magnum Moon. Magnum Moon doesn't fit any profile of any winner that's ever won the Derby, ever. I mean, I know he's undefeated, but he doesn't have the numbers. He doesn't have the Theragraph. He doesn't have the Rag. He ran slower in his prep, in his main prep race in the Arkansas Derby, than he ran in a Rebel. That's almost never happened where they went on and won the Derby after they ran slower. You know, it's just usually they continue to get faster. And Andy's had four races since January 1. This will be his fifth race. You know, we're only in, what, May 5th? And he'll be on his fifth race. You know, so that, I mean, I don't know. If he wins, I'd be shocked.
I heard Jerry Bailey in an interview, a multiple-time Derby-winning jockey, say that he thought Justify and Mendelssohn were several lengths ahead of the rest. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't. And I mean, if you're only a Brisnet player or maybe only a buyer number player, I guess you could say that. But if you look at the sheets numbers, they're not way above. I mean, Mendelssohn's Rag number's a 3, Audible's a 3, Justify's a 4. So, you know, they're not that much faster than it. Bolt Oro's a 5. You know, Vino Rosso's a 6. Good Magic's a 6. So, I mean, there's horses that are right there with them if you believe in those kind of figures. But, you know, I just don't know what to do with Mendelssohn. I really don't, because his Theragraph numbers and his Rags numbers last year were in the 10, 12, 15 areas, you know, and then all of a sudden he runs a -4 Theragraph and a 3 Rag. I mean, it's like a 9 to 10 point improvement off of any number he's ever run. So is he going to run it again, shipping across the world? I mean, I don't know. I mean, some people tell you he's got so much seasoning, he's just going to keep moving forward. And, you know, these experienced sheet guys will tell you there's no way he's doubling up that number. He's going to go backwards. And if he goes backwards, obviously he can't win. But from the 14 hole, he's going to get the perfect trip. So he'll have no excuse from out there unless somehow he would get left. And, you know, those horses to his outside are not very fast. So even if he comes out a step slow, he still should be able to get into position. So, you know, Justify better come out, Bolt Oro better come out, or they're in deep trouble. Good Magic and Audible, you know, they just have to sit mid-pack, so I'm not sure they have to, you know, break really good. But Bolt Oro, I'm a little nervous about him just because of the post position. You know, on paper, you look at the 11 hole and say, oh, yeah, that's great. But when you look at the way they load the horses, they load 1, 11, 2, 12, 3, 13. At the same time. So he's going in the gate just like he's in the one hole. He's the first horse in, and he's going to be sitting there all that time when they load 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. And he's been known to have some gate issues. He's come out tardy many times in his starts. If he comes out tardy, he could be sitting 17th, and then the race is over.
About 30 seconds? About 30 seconds. Have you leaned to a pick yet?
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning to Audible. I wish I could talk to JJ to tell him to stay on the fence. but I think he's the price. You know, not necessarily that he's, you know, better than Justify, but I think the price of Audible 8, 9, 10 to 1 is a heck of a price for people that don't go to the track all the time to take a shot. You know, Justify is going to be 2, 2.5 to 1. Mendelsohn's going to be 4 or 5 to 1. So I think the value is Audible or Bolt Doro or even Good Magic at maybe 8 or 9 to 1. Those are the values of the horses that can really have a big chance to win. And, you know, if Castellanos sits in there on the rail about 7th or 8th and gets that super saver type trip where he just hugs that fence, I think he's got a big, big chance to win because the 2 cheap speeds, the 3 and the 4, are both going to stop. And the 1 and the 2 have no speed. So he should be able, in theory, to sit right behind them, get over to the rail on the first turn, and never move.
Dan, got to run. Appreciate the time.
All right. Thanks,
enjoy the weekend. Got to get to a break. TJ Beisner next up when we return on the Leach Report Radio Network.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Coming up next, it's Kentucky Sports Radio with Matt Jones.
TJ Beisner joins the program. He's the new editor at CoachCal.com. And congratulations. They made a great hire.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. It's been a crazy 24 hours in trying to get ramped up and, you know, getting here and learning all the things over at the basketball office. And, of course, JMI, I'm working through JMI Sports. So ramping up, a lot to learn. I'm super excited about it.
And starting immediately, the release said.
Yes. So I am in the office right now, so we're trying to put together a plan. There's going to be a post later on CoachCal.com. We're going to make some changes, and it's going to be launching a new version of CoachCal.com in the next couple of weeks once Coach is back to 100%. We get everything lined up, but I'm very excited. We have some really cool ideas and sat down with Coach Cal, went through some things, and he's really excited about them too. So we're hoping this will be an experience that is unlike anything else in college athletics, which is, you know, the goal for UK basketball, of course, and that's their partnership with JMI Sports. They're trying to forge new platforms and do those sorts of things. So this will be a very important piece of changing the way people are able to experience Kentucky basketball in the next couple of years.
A lot of coaches have to be pulled toward some media projects, I think, at times. I'm sure it'll be fun to work with a guy like Cal, who is usually kind of setting the tone rather than following the leader.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, a lot of our conversations are based on, you know, not how are we going to do what we're doing, but what's the new stuff we're going to work on? How are we going to do things that haven't been done or things that are different? And to me, you know, I had kind of made a decision personally about a year ago to kind of get out of the media and just focus on just living life as dad and everything. And so they've given me a great opportunity here. And with Coach Cal, you know, you see the impact, and you see it, Tom, the way he affects these kids and the way they're developing young men. I think that's beyond basketball, and those are the things I've really respected about Coach Cal beyond basketball, is I think he's a great leader, he truly cares about people, and I think he's got a great mind for business. And so this is setting up to be, you know, it's early in the process, so maybe we'll check in a few months and see if I'm worn down by it. But as of now, I'm super excited. I can't wait.
I'm eager to see what the tweaks are going to be. You get to do a famous tweak now, just like Cal, I guess, with the site.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, the Facebook series was very well received, and I thought was extremely well done this past season. And it's hard to come up with, you know, some fresh angles on something that gets as much coverage as Kentucky basketball. But I thought they did a good job and really humanized players. I'm sure you watched most, if not all, of those. Are you looking to do some of that kind of stuff, maybe?
Well, I think the part humanizing players, I think that's what's important, you know, and going back to the things that I've sort of done in covering the team in a variety of different ways, and, you know, websites and TV, to me, the players, when I started doing this, were these superhuman people because I had watched it from the outside. And then as I got into it, and then I became a father myself, and I got older, you see them as kids, and they've been kids all along, but until you're up close, you don't really get that personal connection. And I think that's the opportunity we have with all this access and all these, you know, the partnerships and the great platforms to really connect people with these really amazing kids. I mean, the quality of players that are recruited to Kentucky basketball from a basketball standpoint is obviously exceptionally high. Best in the country, if not every single year, close to it every single year. But I am always amazed, and talking to people that don't work in the media, they ask about the players. They are great kids. They are really, really polite and kind, and they're learning the world just as we all are, and it's soaking up knowledge. And to me, that's what I've loved more than anything. And so I think as we come up with our different ways of doing it, that's the goal, is to really make people feel the connection. And, you know, I've seen the stuff people have written and said for the last, you know, year or so, and there are people frustrated saying guys are coming and they're leaving and we barely get to know them. We hardly even get to know who they are. That's the challenge that we're all sitting and talking about with Coach Cal and with JMI Sports. How do we make people really feel that bond for regardless of how long these guys are here, feel connected that this is their team, because these players are here, of course, to help themselves in some way, but they're here because it's Kentucky and everything that goes into that, the fans during the recruiting process, Big Blue Madness. How do we capture that better on a consistent basis and really build that connection so you don't have to be in the media to feel like you are really connected to these players and know their story and know what they're about? That's the challenge, but that's also, you know, the great opportunity I'm excited about.
Well, again, congratulations, and we'll holler back at you after a few weeks pass and you kind of settled in and talk about some of the new things you're doing.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thank you very much, Tom.
TJ Beisner, and he look for his work on the website, CoachCal.com, coming up really starting today. As he said, there'll be a post-up, but sounds like in the next few weeks you'll see some of the real meaningful change. So look forward to that. Going to wrap it up after this timeout on the Leach Report Radio Network. I think Mendelsohn or Justify wins the Derby. I've told you at the top, I'm giving a slight lean to Mendelsohn for my pick. I'm going to be off tomorrow. So, Shannon, who do you like for the Derby? Shannon?
You know, normally I would like to bet on a long shot, but from everything I've been hearing this year, all the talk has been about Justify, and it seems like the latest trend has been the favorites have been winning, so I'm going to go with Justify.
Justify it is. Yep. So Shannon and I are really going out on a limb. He's got the favorite. I got the second choice.
That's right. The payoff won't be too big.
No. Well, maybe we'll hit the exact
thing. Yeah.
Enjoy it. Everybody, enjoy your Derby and Oaks weekend. Michael Bennett's going to sub for me tomorrow, and then I'll be back with you on Monday. Kenny Rice will join us for the annual Derby recap show here on the Leach Report Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Leach Report. Make sure you check out the podcast page at TomLeachKY.com whenever you miss a show. And be sure to follow the Leach Report Facebook page. If you have a question for Tom, email it to LeachReport@gmail.com. See you next time, right here on the Leach Report Radio.